Ladies and gentlemen, I am Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode number 39. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders and potential Christian leaders understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the Great Commission for our Lord. Our strategic Christian leadership Bible verse for this episode is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, which says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Our strategic Christian leadership quote for this episode is from Ralph Nader. He said, "The function of leadership is to produce more leaders, not more followers." In this podcast, we are going through the fine books, Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Malfers, Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of these books from our website, podcastpulpit.com. Our topic today is part 6 of chapter 7, Growth, Why Humility Generates Abilities, from Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. He continues as follows. Humility and self-esteem. There is a paradox worth observing in Walker's undefended leader, whom Carter equally well describes as reflective, humble, and careful to listen. Often those who are boastful, protective, and unwilling to listen are actually the most insecure. It is a compensation mechanism, a way of hiding true feelings of inadequacy. After all, if I can make others think highly of me, then perhaps I am great after all. By contrast, the humble person, the one who doesn't feel the need to big note herself or himself, is the truly secure one. The logic is simple. If you have a robust view of yourself, you don't need others to affirm it, at least not as often. Friends of mine have told me a true story about some friends of theirs, a husband and wife partnership who own a posh jewelry store in Sydney. Some years ago, an American gentleman walked in asking to buy a pink Argyle diamond, one of the most expensive items in the shop. During the credit card transition, the store's computer froze. The woman stared at the screen in embarrassment. The gentleman bent over the counter, offered a keystroke combination, and the machine came back to life. "You know a little about computers, do you?" she said, or asked. He nodded, continued the transaction, and quietly left the store. When the woman's husband came into the shop later in the day, she told him about the sale and the embarrassment over the computer. When they looked again at the customer's credit card details, they were shocked to read, "Bill Gates." True story. Gates happened to be in town for the huge Microsoft convention at Sydney's Darling Harbour. The woman suddenly felt silly for having asked him, "You know a little about computers, do you?" When this is the guy who just about sets the agenda for the computer industry worldwide. Why did Gates advertise who he was when he offered his keystroke combination? It certainly would not have been his insecurity. Quite the opposite. I imagine if it wasn't simply to avoid a fuss, Gates was just so comfortable in his shoes, so to speak, he felt no need to present himself as anything other than some anonymous American guy who knew a little about computers. I don't know whether Bill Gates is a humble man. You hear mixed reports. My point is simply that paradoxically, big noters are often insecure, and the humble are frequently secure. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us to be humble for your glory, praise, and honor, and to do big things for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.